All lines are now bridged.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our ICAT Task Force meeting. We are getting very, very close to the finish line here. Quick roll call, and then we'll dive right into our report discussion. On the member list, I have Cheryl Turney and Alex Goss, our co-chairs, Erin Meary, Anil Jain, Deb Strickland, Gus Gerarcy, Jocelyn Keegan, Alex Muggy, Ram Shiram, Rich Landon, Sasha Termott, and Tom Mason. Any other members on the phone that I missed?
Alexis.
Mm-hmm. Alexis and someone else?
I think we were just three of us were saying Alexis's name at once.
Three Alexis's, got it. Okay.
Just that good of a name.
I'll turn it over to Alex and Cheryl to get us started.
Well, thank you, everyone. This is Alex Goss. I'm going to kick us off today. Thank you, Lauren, for completing roll call. We can advance to the next. Well, hold on a second. So today I'm going to give you a brief recap on the summary and action plan from the last meeting. We're going to jump into the final review of the draft report. We're going to talk about the high-tech deck that we plan to present tomorrow. And we'll, of course, have a public comment period today, followed by a wrap-up with next steps. If we can go to the next slide, one more, please. So last meeting, we had a really active, vibrant meeting. We did a hands-on editing and discussion of our draft report. As you may recall, we have been compiling various pieces of our journey since March and encapsulating that into synthesized information and then with the support of an editor, as well as your task force member feedback, we were able to advance the efforts into a compiled report, and we walked through a few topics on the last call that we felt needed task force guidance. We captured comments and edits along the way, enabling Cheryl and I to work with the editor to produce a new draft. And so we'll talk a little about that in a moment. But also on the last call, we did talk about the process for getting the report draft to HITAC in advance of their upcoming meeting to give them a week review period so that we can have a fruitful discussion, and ultimately leading us to being able to come back to the task force and integrate any necessary changes or discuss any issues that would result in changes so we can finalize the report, with the goal being that we're going to submit that final report for acceptance on November 10th. So we had a very productive meeting, which enabled us to actually finalize the report. So thank you for everybody's feedback, especially around the attachments topic. Would like to move on to the next slide, please. So we want to move into the review of the draft report. I think what we're going to do at this point is to pivot over to screen share so that we can show you that report. We know that we have received one technical feedback item from ONC. I'm not sure if other folks within the task force have had a chance to actually take a look at the document. One of the things that I wanted to showcase for people, especially those in the public viewing mode, at the HITAC calendar for tomorrow's meeting, for the advisory committee meeting, the draft report, Intersection of Clinical Administrative Data Task Force draft report is available for any and all to review, and they have their public comment period tomorrow as well. So from what we'd like to do is to just kind of walk through the document, looking for task force members who may have had a chance to look at this to raise any questions or comments or things that they've observed in their review. So we did make sure you were aware that we had the draft eagle had landed, so to speak. To set some context and get our creative juices flowing today, we have produced this draft report recognizing there are a few things that we need to fill in, like the foreword. Cheryl and I are going to put a preamble into the report once we get a little bit further down in finalizing it. But following an opening and launch directly into the vision and overarching charge of the task force, followed by the roster of the members, providing an executive summary that gives in three pages, a snapshot, overview, our landscape efforts, our findings and recommendations, and a conclusion. That three-page or so executive summary, more about four pages, it really enables us to get into more extensive detail on our efforts. We first start out with framing the problem and its impacts, the stakeholders we've engaged, and address some of the authorities and perspectives about how we got here and how we're working together as federal advisory committees, along with the industry, to really give thoughtful feedback to our federal partners. That introduction led us into a recap of our prior authorization landscape analysis and the deep dive that the team did on that area. Then we go into the ICAD findings and recommendations, which really kick off with really discussing the ideal state and guiding principles, and then getting into detailed recommendations before concluding with a summary. That gets us about 40-some pages into the document. The appendices include an acronym list, glossary list. We were most appreciative of the extensive input that we received from our industry partners. We thank you to Andrew on the ONC staff, produced a summary of each one of those presentations, and about almost equal to the report size, you can find those summaries and key points in Appendix 3. We also, as you may recall, a very long time ago when we first launched this task force, started out with a compendium of artifacts, and Andrew helped us with this as well. This compendium reflects a tremendous number of intersection-related references and a lot of prior authorization, especially related contacts or concepts and documents. So Appendix 4 provides that, and then we wrap it up with just a dutiful notes and citations. That provides an overview, hopefully for everyone, of how the final report is shaping up. I don't want to make everybody dizzy, but I do need to scroll down to see if there are any comments beyond the one that has been submitted by ONC. But as I'm scrolling down a little bit, I would ask if any of our members have any questions or comments or observations they'd like to make on the report. I'm not seeing
any hands raised yet.
Thank you.
The report does have a foreword that needs to be added. Alex and I have been working on a draft, and I think that's about ready to add, which we will do after the high-tech meeting tomorrow.
We also know that once we get feedback from HITECH that we're going to need to do some final cleanup formatting. I really want to applaud the ONC staff and the editor in going down to the wire on trying to make this report as clean and as well laid out as possible. But we know that there was a lot to get done as the delivery time approached. So we will also be taking a look at that. But I'm hoping that Michael Witte has audio.
He does. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Michael.
Wonderful.
You sent it. Great. So I believe that you said you would be willing to speak to the request and that you received and the comment that you inserted related to recommendation 2.
Sure. I mean, you all read it. Basically, the gist is that the task force, it's not necessary for the task force to identify the authorities. That's something that the Office of General Counsel essentially will help us do. You tell the HITAC, and the HITAC tells ONC what we should figure out how to do, and then we have to figure out how to do it. And just as a note, there's actually an authority in the HITECH Act, which came later than HIPAA, that would actually do this much more easily than attempting to do it under HIPAA. So instead of trying to contort with that, that being, of course, only my opinion and not the opinion of the general counsel, our suggestion and request is that we just remove this because it's not needed.
So the suggestion is that we could just delete the one sentence that is highlighted on the screen and leave the rest of the content there. So what we would do is be still moving forth with the recommendations to establish a government-wide common standards advancement process, and that we would stick to the what we'd like to see but not have to get into how it can be done. Are there any concerns with this request? Hi, Rich.
We have one.
Your hand is up.
Yes, Rich Landon. I'm going to need to think about this a little bit and digest a comment from ONC. I understand where what it's about, but I'm wondering if it still might not be worth it to get. Yeah, Michael mentioned the ONC has authority under both HIPAA and HITECH, so I think we can take out the specificity there. That doesn't concern me. But I'm wondering if we should still leave in the sentence, because I think part of the objective of the sentence is to say we don't think any new legislative authorities are needed.
So I think you're...
We don't need to say which authorities, but I think it's important that we get in our concept of we don't need new authority.
I remember that discussion, Rich, and I think the point being that we really didn't want to have to go to the mat to get some kind of new permission to do this. We wanted to keep moving forward. And so maybe a compromise could be just to remove the specific citation in the sentence. Stay out of it.
At HITECH as well as HIPAA. So the existing authorities, plural, granted of the secretary under HIPAA and HITECH. Take out the USC reference.
This is Michael again. I appreciate the challenge and the need or the desire to point that out. But I think from the and Lauren, or if Tom Mason is on, please jump in. But I think that it would be better not to mention statute at all and just say something like the task force believes that HHS already has this authority, just because, you know, like I said, I'm not a lawyer, and I don't think any of our lawyers are on the phone. And we wanted, and whether it's HIPAA or HITECH or something else that we don't know about, because it sure could be, I think not. If something is going to be left in, I think the comfort level from ONC leadership would be higher if it wasn't specified.
Do we have others who would like to weigh in on the topic?
Alex, it's Rich again. I'm getting more comfortable with Michael's suggestion that we just say we don't think anything new is required. However we want to phrase that.
Okay. I'm not seeing any other hands up or comments at this point, Cheryl. I just want to acknowledge that Jim Gerges did join us, so welcome. I'm going to capture that. Hey, I'm going to capture that comment. And I'm going to continue scrolling down in the document to see if there are any other comments that were added. I don't believe so. I had checked about an hour ago. And I think that that means that we may be all good to go. Okay. Well, with that said, I believe our agenda had us discussing the final review of the draft report. I'm not seeing any comments or further questions, so I believe that means we could pivot to the high-tech deck review, which I think, Cheryl, you may have.
Yep, and I have some slides. We can move them over now, Catherine. Since we have the time, we might as well review the slide deck that's going to high-tech. That's already been shared. That's not the first slide, so. Can we pivot over to my Cheryl screen share?
I think they're working on it from what I can see from my side.
All right. I just can't see them yet.
Yeah, and Cheryl, it looks like it's all grayed out, which might mean that you.
All right. So I'll try it again.
It looks like Katie's asking you to maximize your slide deck.
Okay. Is that working now?
You might want to switch your display settings because we're seeing the presenter display, not your, if you have two monitors. If you go to display settings in the middle at the top, you can flip it and so you don't have to switch your screens around. You can, at the very top of the screen, display settings. Oh, there you go.
Swap. Okay. Is that better?
It is. It's a full screen now. You're off to the races.
Perfect. All right. So this is the deck that Alex and I will be presenting tomorrow to high tech. I will stop after each slide to see if anybody has questions. I won't be able to see Alex, who's got their hand raised, so hopefully you can let me know that.
Will do.
Essentially, we are going to go over our charge, again, refresh their memory with who's the member of the task force, identify what the draft outline report looks like. We already had presented some information on ideal state guiding principles and recommendations. And so the thought was we're going to focus on our updates. And I actually will update these slides now based on the change we're making to recommendation 2, because I'll make a note, Alex, after today's meeting that we removed that statement. So that'll be in here, but it's not here now. Then we're going to talk about the new recommendations that we have made since the prior update, open for questions and feedback, and then talk about the next step. So I'm not going to go over the charge here. That's the exact same one that we used last time, and you guys have seen this multiple times. And then the list of task force members. And again, we'll thank you all for all of your participation, which we really heartily appreciate every moment that you've spent on this. I know it's been a lot of work and it's been a long time, and your ability to be persistent and constant through the pandemic, it really needs to be noted. So thank you. Then we're going to review the outline of the report, and this outline is still the same as the current setup that you just saw. We're going to review the ideal state again. And this is important because this sets up essentially the guiding principles and the new guiding principle that we added, which is to focus on the reducing the burden on all stakeholders. And, you know, this particular one really talks about how we are identified this through the transition to the broader intersection conversation, and that the reducing burden on all stakeholders is really to look at this converged ecosystem, enable the stakeholders across the continuum to continue to operate, but in a new and different way, and to focus on that mechanism to allow, you know, healthcare, public policy, primary and specialty care, vital records, research, payers, policymakers, and patients all to operate within the same ecosystem, more on a common footing. And then the idea to support this principle is that we have a single workflow that's ideally a single standard for all transactions at the intersection of clinical administrative data, regardless of the payer or the plan, with capabilities available in workflow without special effort on behalf of the provider. And this is going to be no easy feat because we have providers who have multiple systems with different capabilities and different levels of maturity and sophistication. So this is not something that's going to be easy out of the gate. We've defined if portals are used, they are to be integrated into workflows with no special effort. Patients have the ability to utilize a third-party patient credential consent management service, which would support the seamless authorization and access functions to their data across the landscape. And this is going to be particularly important for all of the providers, payers, and actors, such as clearinghouses and others, in order to utilize that data with minimal additional effort by the patient. And then ability for patients to have bidirectional data sharing with providers electronically from an app of their choice without special effort. And then hopefully the CVS process provides the right level of evidence-based and patient-centered guidance during the care process. And the prior authorization process should not be the result of inadequate use of existing AIDS-ID. So in essence, that's what this guiding principle supports. Are there questions or comments on the guiding principle?
There are none.
Okay. Then I'm going to move over to the new ideal state for guiding principles. And really here, it's a restatement of what I just read about the guiding principle for reducing burden on all stakeholders that you just heard. And then we're going to focus on the overarching recommendations. And here what we've done is we've highlighted the recommendations. We've reworded a lot of these, but we haven't made material changes to all of them since our last meeting at HITECH. Now we have made a material change to two, so we will update that in red as well. And then we'll highlight that. As I said, it's not here today, but I will add it. And then we're going to highlight essentially what is changed in each of the other recommendations. And in some cases, because we rewrote these, it's almost easier to just discuss the entire recommendation than what was different from the last time because of the way that we, you know, did this. So then we focus on each individual recommendation that changed. We did materially change recommendation number 7, and here we, you know, rewrote this one based on the patient-centered workflows. And we really tried to focus here on the recommendations that would emphasize the need for the patient's interaction to be supported in this digital ecosystem in a way that is going to support the patient's needs for information throughout the workflow. And also remove the patient from the burden of having to marshal through, if you will, the questions that come up or when prior authorizations get stuck or something gets denied and then an appeal has to be made. And the hope is that the patient is a participant in the process, but the patient doesn't have to have the burden of, you know, basically leading it or managing it through the process. That it really should be the initiator of the request that marshals this through the process, and the patient should be having information available to them so they know where it is. Any questions on recommendation 7?
There are none.
Okay, recommendation 9. this one got reworded because, again, of the coordination between us and the other federal agencies that weigh in. So we wanted it to be clear that there more of the what and less of the how. So we focused here on the fact that there needs to be an attachment standard, and it needs to focus on consistency with previous NCDHS recommendations and this report, and an attachment standard really needs to evolve that reduces the burden by harmonizing the standards. And again, focusing on the what and not the how.
I also think to add on to that overview, we are looking to stay out of what version to adopt. We just want to see something adopted, and we know that the industry will have to weigh in on that. And so that was a major change that was affected as a result of last week's task force discussion.
All right. You know what?
There are no hands up.
All right, hold on. I can't, because I got my screens up. I can't make a note of that, Alex. So I'll try to capture that out.
Yeah. Oh, I won't forget that.
You're going to present this tomorrow, so yeah.
Okay, I'll do this one. No problem. It's near and dear to my heart. Let's change the world in the way we look at attachments.
Okay, thank you. All right, no questions. So then we go over to one of our new recommendations, which is the established patient authentication and authorization to support consent. And this is one where we're really focused on creating standards that will enable the patient or the caregiver to authorize sharing of their data with a tool of their choice to interface with the corresponding provider and payer systems. And the idea behind this, as we discussed before, just so that you're aware, is really to be able to get at the problem that patients have where they send their records to one provider and find out maybe due to urgency needs or whatever, that provider can't do it, and then be able to more quickly redirect that authorization to another provider if that's the case. And there were some use cases and examples that we talked about this, but having this established standard for third-party use is really going to be valuable to the patient. It's going to reduce their turnaround time, if you will, and it's also going to enable their capabilities to really control where their data goes and when it goes there in a more bidirectional way, and also in a way that is going to be more expedient. And then the other part of this is really focusing on that bidirectional data sharing that will allow a patient to be able to share a pertinent data, you know, that it may be required to support, you know, their care giving. In some cases, depending on what it is, it might be a picture of a wound or, you know, something from a wearable that would be helpful for the provider to have, and this would allow them to be able to share that in some way that the system would be able to accept it. Any questions on recommendation 14?
I'm not seeing any hands raised, but I am observing that we may have an opportunity on recommendation 14 and 15 to update our presentation of our thoughts to be more consistent with how we've written and framed the prior recommendations. In this one, we don't say we recommend, we just say should, and I think we need to potentially think about that as a cleanup opportunity.
Oh, that's exactly, yes, that's perfect. So we will, I'll make sure we update this, but
I'll put a comment in the document to that effect.
Yeah, because it's not in the document, sir. Perfect.
But you did get a chat from Rich Landon indicating he thinks this looks fine. So I think you're good to move on to number 15. There are no other hands up.
Okay. And I think we went through and made sure the recommends were all there before we added these. So these two obviously will need to be updated.
Yep.
Okay. And then the last one, number 15, and this is, you know, really fabulous timing. I just got some notice today of a group that actually is making some test facility available. So, you know, you must have been reading minds, Alex, when you suggested this, but establishing the test data capability to support interoperability. So in this one, it should be HHS should recommend the development, or we recommend the development of a national approach to have test data beds to drive innovation and ensure real-world functionality and interoperability. And to accomplish this, some actions are needed. One is reviewing current administrative transactions and associated value code sets to ensure USCDI supports the data concepts and elements needed for downstream to support clinical administrative functions, establish illustrative information models, and this is really going to be important to align clinical administrative data for secondary use, and then establish a minimum data set for transactions at the intersection of clinical administrative data. And, you know, this is really necessary, especially because a lot of the data within administrative and clinical is referential and it has to be connected. And so actually getting accurate test data, test beds, is a very time-consuming and onerous process. So establishing this type of standard and capability is really going to, I think, exponentially allow the advancement of some of the work that's going on now with APIs and the ability to more quickly test in a real-life type of environment, because you'll actually be able to see when data is connected together how it's going to behave. And today, as everyone may be aware, you know, within the DaVinci framework, there is a lot of forced data that's going through, but it's not all connected, and it isn't all looking at how things have to be set up in order to make things work. And so there are a lot of opportunities for gaps and problems that have to be solved after the fact, which a lot of us are doing right now with updating the implementation guides, you know, as we speak for the current role that's effective in, you know, 2 months. So questions on number 15?
Rich Landon has his hand up.
Rich?
Yeah, on that second last bullet, are we using minimum, the word minimum, in two different definitions there? I'm presuming that the second minimum, the one in quotes, minimum necessary, refers to the HIPAA privacy, but we got a minimum data set, so I'm not sure if we're saying we need to do minimum necessary as per HIPAA privacy, or we're setting up something that restricts use of data to those elements in the minimum data set.
Yeah, I actually think you hit on a really good point here, and maybe we should reword that, Alex, so it doesn't say minimum data set, but it establishes a I think we should just go with a test bed for transactions instead of even a data set, because we're already having some issues with interoperability where you know, some of the vendors are adding data elements to things that don't require them to be there.
Yeah.
And so I do think the use of minimum necessary is important to show that the data flowing through needs to adhere to minimum necessary. But I don't know. I do think it's confusing having both of those reference minimum.
Yes, and I think Jocelyn Keegan would possibly like to make a comment. She's not in the app, but she's texting me that she would like to make a comment. I don't know if you're in a place where you can do that, Jocelyn.
Thanks, Alex. I am. Sorry, I'm just offline today. Yeah, I think that if we talked about the data set as being minimally viable, that might be a way to get at the two different types of minimal we're talking about here.
Viable data set or test bed,
yeah.
Minimally viable test bed for testing of transactions. And so the point in this sentence that we're talking about, establish a minimum data set for transactions at the intersection of clinical admin data that adheres to minimum necessary requirements. I think this was really to our privacy and security as a part of the initial overall design, like we have with patient-centered aspect. And so I think if we're thinking about minimum necessary, that sort of scales to the situation at hand. So are we really saying that we want a minimally viable test bed for testing event transaction that adheres to minimum necessary requirements?
Yeah, I don't like the word of minimally viable. I like
so
the
it's
word
sufficient,
of viable.
sufficient data set or a sufficiently viable
sufficient,
data set?
Yeah, I like that better.
Test bed for testing transactions, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Well, awesome. So we were able to also come up with a proposed revision that'll make things smoother. Thank you.
Right.
I see no further hands raised.
We can update that in the paper, too, because I think that's going to be really important.
I've been adding comments as you've been getting this feedback into the document.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Then we basically ask for questions and feedback and then talk about what the submission of the final report in the November 10th meeting. And so that's our update.
So I know that there have been a number of individuals that are and organizations that are interested in this report. So I suspect the approach that we've designed is going to provide the maximum amount of opportunity for public comment and discussion or discussion with HITECH and to also support the public comment period, which I am not sure of all the rules about that, but I think people have a certain amount of time they're able to make remarks. That should be a pretty exciting meeting tomorrow. It's a big opportunity for feedback and to enable us to move forward with finalizing the report. And so I think, thank you for going to the report timeline. Tomorrow is the 21st of October. We'll bring the feedback to this committee for processing on the 27th. Katie, I think you're on the right slide, so thank you. Our goal will be to finalize the report based on comments for November 3rd and then submit that final report to HITECH November 5th and anticipating their approval and acceptance of the final report on the 10th. In addition to presenting to HITECH this week, Cheryl and I have the opportunity to present at WEDI. And so if you maybe can share my screen, that would be great, Katie. We will be presenting highlights and a discussion of this task force's report during a 2:20 p.m. to 3:05 p.m. Eastern Time session. So it's going to move pretty quickly for us to make folks aware of the report. It's more extensive dive than we've just done for you here today. Our session will be pretty straightforward, maybe a few questions at the end, but they will be having a separate session after we conclude to enable WEDI to have an industry reaction session and discussion of the report for about 20, 25 minutes. We have developed a slide deck similar to the one that Cheryl just reviewed for you that provides us with the ability to give them the story from front to back, whereas the ICAD presentation tomorrow will be more of updates because we are most interested in having a dialogue and really hearing from the HITECH members on the body of work that they've had the opportunity to review over the last week. With that said, Cheryl, I'm not sure how much more we have for today. You've gotten us through the the deck for tomorrow. We've talked about the opportunity for or our timeline for the next 3 weeks since we are in the three-week countdown. I'm questioning if we are looking at moving to public comment early. That's way early.
I agree. Let's move to public comment early. And maybe we can put up the slide that allows people to make public comments. And if we have any, we can let it go on a little bit longer if we need to.
Sure. Thanks, Cheryl. And this is Lauren. I'll just take the opportunity to remind folks to please participate during our public comment period, both at the task force level as well as the HITECH meeting on tomorrow. This will be a key opportunity to hear from our stakeholders. So hopefully you had an opportunity to review the report and come prepared with your comments. So with that, I'll ask the operator to open our public line.
Thank you. If you would like to make a public comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. If you would like to remove your comment from the queue, please press star 2. And for participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up the handset before pressing the star keys. One moment while we pull for comments. There are no comments at this time.
Okay, we'll leave the line open for the next few minutes or so while we turn back to the co-chairs for any next steps or closing remarks.
There's a request from a task force member, Cheryl. I don't know if you can see, if you still have your screen sharing going on, but Alexis is inquiring if we could look at those slides again. Once something was skipped over, it would be helpful to see the text. She just wants to check something.
Do you have a particular slide that you are want us to hone in on, or just want us to run through it again, Alexis?
Yeah, I don't. I if you flip through them, I'll be able to say stop on that one. There was one that it wasn't up there, and Cheryl was kind of talking about what she was going to say, and then it went to the next slide, and then she said, "Oh well, I just talked about this," so she skipped over it. And I just kind of wanted to see what that text was.
Okay, yeah. I know which one you're talking about. It was in the guiding principles, the reduced burden on all stakeholders. Because of the screen share splitting, I had actually pretty much read this from the prior slide, but I know which one you're talking about. I'll maximize it. And can you see my screen now?
Mostly, there's something in the corner that's blocking it.
Hold on, I have to put the slideshow on. I'm not good at this double screen thing.
There
so
you go. Yep.
Can you see it better now?
Yep. Yeah. If you could, go to your switch, the top menu, not the second. There you go.
There you go. Okay. This was the slide, Alexis. And I really pretty much read this when I was talking about the ideal state on the prior slide.
Yep, sounds good. Looks good.
All right. Awesome. Thank you, Alexis.
Thank you for
your question. Thanks for resharing.
No worries.
Do we have any public comments that may have come in the queue? Just to be mindful that we want to. Okay.
There are none at this time.
Thanks, Sherry.
I mean, one thing we could share is that in the Weedy deck, because they have actually not seen any of the recommendations, we'll be, giving them a paragraph each of the recommendations. So,
I'd be happy to share that, because I wonder if there are going to be other task force members who may be asked to provide a deck and if they can.
Okay. All right. We'll have to update that one as well, Alex, for the changes that we're talking about today. But the one additional slide that's in the Weedy deck, which might be helpful for them to see, is the last one that you added, which we don't have in this HITECH deck, but might be helpful in that deck also.
So would it be possible for Katie, do you share my screen? Because I have it. Yes, please. Okay. All right. So this slide deck has 21 slides. It is on the Weedy template. As you can tell, it's very similar. And we're going to kind of walk through all the pieces of the puzzle.
There's a link to the actual report provided, very similar content as to our charge, our members, the outline that you've probably now heard three times today. We've discussed the ideal state pieces that have been pulled out and sort of attempted to be synthesized into a handful of bullets. We are going to cover the 9 guiding principles. There are the 15 recommendations, and then they are somewhat grouped on the next set of slides. So recommendation 1 and 2 are together. Recommendation 3 is all by itself. 4 and 5 together. 6 by itself. 7, 8. And ironically, because I knew that this request was coming in from ONC, I already fixed recommendation 9. Cheryl, I left that stuff out of the HIPAA authorities, so it was already gone. And then there's recommendation 10. We provide 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. So we're going to have to fix slide 19.
Yep.
For the
can you go back
you
to 2? I think we need to fix 2. Yeah, that one has the authorities statement in it too that we also have to remove. The existing authority granted to the secretary, that, yeah, we have to take that out.
Okay. Sorry, I was thinking in the wrong place. You were spot on. Thank you for catching that. I was mistaken. Slide 9. So we have to do slide 19 for the sufficient instead of the minimal.
Yeah.
And then remove authorities. Yep.
That's 9. Okay. Slide 9. And 9. Okay. Perfect. All right.
And then you wanted me to show the final slide. There it is.
Yes. I love this slide, actually, that you synthesized and highlighted. And maybe that's a good one that we should even add to High Tech that we didn't add. I really like this slide.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say this really is reflective of the iterative work that we did for the conclusion write-up, which started with some thoughts from Alexis that you built on, and then I added to. So it was a group effort on this one. And so are you suggesting that we copy slide 20 into the High Tech deck?
Yes.
Okay. We can take care of these in our debrief meeting. After today's call. And then the last slide is just literally takes it to a questions feedback, kind of explains things to folks. But this is the deck we plan to share Thursday with Weedy. It's got a lot to go through. We're not going to be able to get into a lot of details considering we've got like 50 minutes for this, including Q&A.
Yeah. Any questions or comments on either of those decks?
I'm not seeing any
hands
up.
All right. Any new public comments come in?
There are no comments.
Well, I think, we do have a hand up, Alexis.
Hi, yeah, sorry, when you asked before, I just couldn't get out of the enlarged screen on my side to get to their hand raising. As far as adding the in sum, this slide 20 recommendations to the other one, the only thing is I would just compare it with the conclusion and our recommendations, because you don't want to have in the summary before the actual written summary and miss pieces. So I think like the burden piece probably isn't listed here. So we just don't want to make it confusing and leave out some of the key pieces, especially where you're going to be talking about having added a guiding principle for reducing burden. So I think it's a great summary for the Weedy presentation. I just don't know if it's if you want to add it to the presentation for high tech without making sure that all of the summary pieces are there.
Alexis, I think that's a good point. We'll just leave it the way it is for right now. Any other questions or comments?
I'm not seeing any hands raised.
This will be a first. It looks like we can give people time back in their calendar, and they won't be unhappy about that. Any other public comments?
There are no comments.
All right, looks like Gus is typing something, but it went away. So, all right, well, I guess why don't we wrap up then? So, as you can see, we have a lot that's going on in the next week. We've got high tech tomorrow. We've got Weedy on Thursday. Then we'll be back here next Tuesday. What we will be doing is bringing back the feedback that we got from the high tech, and also give you additional opportunity to review the draft paper that's out there. If you do have any questions or comments on the paper, please send them to Alex and myself. You know, take more time, consider it, send that up. And then essentially we'll come back and review for you all of the comments that were shared with us on high tech next week and talk about how we make one last pass to update the paper. We've allotted about a week in order to do that. And then we essentially have to shut it down and finalize the paper and submit it to high tech. So the goal as of today is to have all of the comments completed by next week, and then have a final paper submitted to high tech by November 3rd or 4th at the latest, which is a week before the meeting, because the meeting is November 10th. So we have on the schedule two more meetings, and then the next week is the high tech meeting, and hopefully with that they'll accept our report and our work will be done. Really appreciate, again, everybody's time and efforts that they put into this so far. You know, there is no way that we, you know, could have come out with a product without everyone working together in a collaborative fashion as we have, and, you know, reaching across the aisle of stakeholders and, you know, working on this together. So I think this is a wonderful example of, you know, what can happen when stakeholders from very different groups all make a commitment to, you know, focus on a goal and achieve it. Alex, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Just my deep appreciation of all the smart people on this task force and all the industry input and time and attention that they've put into our deliberations. May this report truly advance us further down the path of converging administrative and clinical data and improving the U.S. healthcare system, and more especially the experience that all of us and our families receive and through their healthcare journey.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with 100% of that. And the support we've gotten from the ONC staff, the Excel staff, has really been unbelievable. And the editor, so really, we could not have come here without all of that, you know, work and support and guidance. So, you know, really, really, really appreciate it. And I know for me, I had left healthcare for a while. This epitomizes the reason why I got back into this work. It makes me emotional, but I really do feel like if what we are submitting here today can actually be implemented and make changes, this is going to help catapult our industry in a new direction and one that we really need to embark on. So I am really, really happy to be part of this work.
I echo your sentiment and the heartfelt emotions that you have, because part of the reason I'm in healthcare and I'm so passionate and persistent and I drive some of you all so crazy is because I want to make it better, because I've felt the downside of healthcare in too many ways, in too many aspects of my own family. And I think
We'll turn it over to Lauren to wrap us up and close.
Well, I think that just about sums everything up perfectly. Again, thank you to our co-chairs and to the ONC staff who's been working diligently behind the scenes. I'm excited for the presentation and the discussion tomorrow. And for those joining us in the public, I hope you are able to tune in tomorrow as well. Thank you, everyone, and have a lovely Tuesday afternoon. Bye-bye.
Thank you.